Hey, thanks, Grant. The bucket's gone round, have they? Bingo, you can have a seat. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you don't change, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you that you're interested in us and you've got something to say. We just ask now that we would be attentive to what you're saying, and Holy Spirit, that you would work through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to have you here. A number of years ago, my wife Alex, who I'm not going to talk about all night, people have just been waiting for this because if you were here this morning, they thought that I was just going to respond, but I'm not. I'm just going to let it sit. You know, I'm going to do the Christian thing. Turn the other cheek. And years ago, Alex went on a trip. It was sort of a missions trip to India. It was about probably 20 years ago, was it, Al? 15? It was in the year 2000. So it was the year before some of you millennials even existed. And when you go to a culture that's different, I think, you know, we live in an age now where in many ways some of our cultures are not as separated. You know, we live in a more global society, but in those days, you know, there was really significant differences. And in the Indian culture at that stage, the way that they understood, you know, a Westerner saying they wanted something was a little bit different. Like we say, you go to a restaurant and you ask for a drink and you expect that they will bring it to you, you know, fairly soon. And in those days, in the Indian culture, and I don't totally understand how it all works, but that sort of meant that it could come sometime. And after a while, the team were getting sort of thinking, why aren't they getting it, you know, what we're asking for? And somebody told them, well, you know, you've got to say it three times so that they know you really mean it. And one of the guys on the team was sort of getting a bit frustrated about it. And so he went to a restaurant and he asked for a Coke. And he said, can I have a Coke? Can I have a Coke? Can I have a Coke? Three times. And he thought that would fix it. Obviously, there was something missing in the cultural understanding. And I'm not sure that helped too. But, you know, there's something powerful about three times. When you say to someone, you know, it's a nice day, isn't it? You know, and it's sort of the first time it can almost just go past without you noticing it. And then you might bring it up again. And if you sort of really, you know, there's something you really want to impart, you might mention it a third time. And, you know, Alex does that to me regularly because, you know, the first time she knows that I probably didn't hear or didn't tune in. And the second time I'm just starting to sort of get there. And by the third time, it might be, my mum's laughing, it might be just being received. How many times do you have to speak to Dad, Mum? Five, okay. God spoke to Joshua, and we've been talking about this, and he said these two words. He said, be, there's more words than that, but the two important themes. Be strong and courageous. So strength and courage. And in the little text in Joshua chapter 1, you will read that he actually says that three times. And as you read the Bible, you will find out that when something is actually repeated three times, that it's actually a very significant principle. And right here, we've got him saying to Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. So obviously it was important for Joshua in that moment, in that season where he was at. But I think there is something important for us that we need to be strong and courageous. Now, how do you be strong and courageous when you feel weak? How do you step out in courage when you're scared stiff? How can you somehow feel like you've got to summon up strength when you feel absolutely wrecked? That sort of, it's hard, isn't it? It doesn't make sense. And I want to address that a little bit tonight because I think it is really important. And I see for us as a church, I see for us as individuals that there is something that's very important at the moment that we would understand about strength and courage. I think we need to take it on. I think we need to understand that it's not just something that's out there. It's something that we need to be. Be strong and courageous. So in Joshua 1 verse 6, God's saying to Joshua, he says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. And he was clear to Joshua in that passage that his promises were still current. He said, you know what? Right now, Joshua, you're the man. Moses is dead. You're the one. Nobody else is going to do this. I'm not going to get somebody else to do it because you're the one I want to do that. I want you to lead over 1 million people who are on the wrong side of the Jordan River, who are essentially a displaced people group. They'd escaped from Egypt and they hadn't arrived anywhere. Like sort of things that go on in our current age. And he said, you're the one that's going to solve this problem. You're the one that is going to get them from where they are to where I've called them to go. So first of all, he's got a logistical problem. And if you look at it, he's also got more than that. He's got a possession problem. He's got a human problem in that people are also feeling fear because they've got to go into hostile territory and they've got to take possession of hostile territory. So he's got heaps of stuff going on. But God was very clear that his promises still stood. And he is the same, regardless of what you're going through. God is the same, regardless of what you're going through. It's sometimes, I think, you've heard that saying, same but different. And God is always the same. Your circumstances can be different, but God is the same. God is the same when it feels different. God is the same when it feels different. You know, life has a way of having different feelings, doesn't it? You can start a new job and everybody loves you. And, you know, you're the person. And then 6 months into that job, you know, a few things have gone bad. You've made some mistakes. The boss has spoken to you in a way that you didn't appreciate it. You've had a falling out with somebody in your workplace, and suddenly that job feels horrible. In fact, you don't want to be there. You can't even face the thought of getting up and going to work. Anyone been there? God is the same. The same God when you love that job, and he's the same God when it feels rubbish. God's the same when it looks different. God is the same when the challenges are different. God is the same when people are different. God is the same when you're at a new school. God is the same when an important relationship breaks down and you've got to walk through that. God is the same. You know what? God said, he said to Moses, you know what? I want to bless you. I want to lead you and all your people out of slavery into freedom. And he tried to do that, and they sort of mucked it up. They didn't get to where he called them to go. And then Moses has to die before that they can actually have a new generation come through. And he says to Joshua, you know what? My promises still stand. I'm the same God. You're a different man. This is a different season, but I'm the same God, and my promises still stand, and I'm going to lead you into that. I still want to bless you. You know what? God is so ready to bless you with everything you need. God is so ready to bless you with everything you need. The problem with our humanity is we think that God blessing us is about us being good enough, about us doing the right thing, about us reading our Bible, about us sort of getting our ducks in a row. Do you know what? If it was up to us to get our ducks in a row, God would never be able to bless us. Because you know what? You might get your life organized. Your life might look really good, but in the perfection of a mighty God, there's not a lot of difference between your life that feels really organized and somebody else's life that is totally dysfunctional. God God is ready to bless you when? Now. Not when you get it together. Not when you seek forgiveness from somebody you're feeling guilty about what you said to them. He is ready to bless you now. And it says this in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. And this is the Passion Translation. It says, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough for everything, every moment, in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Now, we've got to understand that. Does that mean that your petrol tank will always be full and overflowing? Probably not. Does that mean that your bank account will be full and overflowing and you're always looking around for somebody to give money to? Possibly not. But what it does say is that God's heart towards you is to mean that the way you live your life, He wants you to overflow with goodness and He wants to bless you in every situation that you're in. And he's not going to leave you floundering. He's going to be with you, and His heart towards you is to bless you. God's promise to the children of Israel was that He would give them victory over hostile enemies. He would strengthen them when the odds were against them. He would make a way where it seemed impossible. When it seemed like there isn't a way, you know what? What's God want to do for you? He wants to bless you when it feels like there's not a way. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything in every moment in every way. When you are feeling broken and unloved, what's God want to do? He wants to overwhelm you with His goodness. When you're feeling empty, what's God want to do? He wants to overwhelm you with His goodness in that moment. When you're feeling like you haven't got enough to get through the next season, what's God want to do? He wants to overwhelm you with His goodness in that moment. When you're feeling like you're up against it, what's God want to do? He wants to make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. See, what did God need from Joshua? See, God was the one that was going to do it. But there was one thing that only Joshua could do. That's why God said it three times. He said, Joshua, I'm going to sort out the enemies. Joshua, I'm going to sort out the logistics. Joshua, I'm going to give you strategy beyond what you've imagined. I'm going to give you wisdom as you lead. What do I need from you? I just need you to do two things, Joshua. I need you to be strong and courageous. What does God need from you this year to get through some of those things? He needs you to be strong and courageous. Now, I can hear you saying, that's okay, Dave, but I feel like I haven't got it. I feel like I haven't got anything left. I feel like if I could be strong, well, I wouldn't need God because I'd be strong. Let me tell you, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't need superhuman strength. You don't need to have the wisdom of Solomon. You just need those two things, strength and courage. And what we actually need to do is use, and I'll talk a little bit more about this as I go on tonight, you will need to use the strength and courage that you have to trust God so that He can lead you into your calling, opportunities, and the solutions that He has for you. In Him, you'll be blessed with wisdom, authority, and strength to face and walk through all that's in front of you. So how do we find strength and courage? We don't feel like we have any. How can we be strong when we feel weak? How can we be courageous when we're feeling fearful? Well, listen to what Jesus said. This is when Jesus needed more strength and courage, perhaps than any time during his 33 years on this earth, and certainly during his 3 years in ministry. And he's just about to face the cross. It's imminent. It's about to happen. And he's there with his disciples, 12 people that were closest to him. And then he gets his three closest ones out of that 12. And he says, you know what you can do for me right now? He said, I just want you to stay awake with me and pray with me as I get myself ready. And he said, you just pray here. I'm just going to go over here so I can have a bit of time with my Father. And then three times he comes back and finds the boys asleep. Says this in Matthew 26, verse 40. It says, then he returned to his disciples and he found them asleep. And he said, couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? Imagine that. He's about to take on all the rubbish, all the horrible stuff. Generations of genocide and every horrible thing you can ever think of. He's about to take on the Holocaust. He's about to take on the Rwandan genocide. He's about to take on 9/11. He's about to take on every person that's been sexually exploited. He's about to take on all that stuff. He's about to carry the weight of it. And in light of that, he says to his disciples, I just want you to pray with me for an hour. And they go to sleep. He would have felt so alone. Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour, he asked Peter. Watch and pray, he says to Peter. This is what he says to Peter. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And then he says this. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now that gives us a little bit of insight to know where our strength comes from. You see, when you respond to Jesus, when he comes into your heart, there's a miracle that happens. When your spirit collides with the power of Almighty God, we're actually told that our spirit is made completely new. And from that moment, our spirit actually has a strength, a supernatural strength, because it's been renewed, it's been made different. The problem that we've got is there is a disconnect between our spirit that has been made new and our soul and our body, which are broken and selfish and focused around what's going on. So you see, our spirit can actually be strong. It can actually be full of courage and strength. But our emotions are spent. We're physically tired. And number one, if we want to be strong and courage and courageous, we've got to know that our spirit is strong. You've actually got to know your spirit is strong. You're not thinking, I need a strong spirit. When you come to Jesus, you have been given a new spirit and your spirit is strong. And we've got to understand who we listen to. You know, when we're trying to get through this stuff, when you've got to get up and you've got to go into that workplace again when it feels like rubbish and you know that God still wants you in that place and you've got to walk into there and you're feeling broken and you're thinking, how can I be strong and courageous in that? You've got to know that even though emotionally you feel spent, that you've got a spirit that has been renewed and your spirit can actually speak to your soul and your emotions and you will find strength because God has made your spirit new. He has made your spirit strong and your spirit can actually lead your soul. Did you know that your spirit will lead your soul where your soul never intended to go? Your spirit can take your soul places where your soul would never go. It says this in Ephesians 3:16, and it's Paul talking here to the Ephesians. He says, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. You see, Paul prayed that they would be strengthened at a core level through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit actually connects with your spirit, and that will actually lead your soul. So number two, if we want to have strength and courage, we've got to let our spirit lead our soul. And it is actually the Holy Spirit connecting with our spirit that leads us to where God is wanting us to go. That will actually give you strength when you feel like you don't have any. And as I speak this stuff tonight, I am preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. You know, there are times when we can feel so spent, and it's actually our spirit that's got to speak to our soul, and the Holy Spirit connecting with our spirit that actually leads our soul to where He's calling us to go. It says this in Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Number three, in Christ, you are unlimited. In Christ, you are unlimited. You see, your soul and your emotions are incredibly limited. We're often limited by how good we feel. We're limited by how encouraged we've been. We're limited by how good our day was yesterday. We're limited by the things that have gone on around us. But you know what? Paul, again, speaking to the Philippians, says, you know what? In Christ, you can do all three things because you're awesome, because you're a flipping legend, because you were born for it, because you are coolest person in your class. No, he says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And we're going to understand that we are not limited in Christ. In this world and ourselves and our culture, we're limited. You will be limited by the suburb you grew up in if that's how, yes. You will take a Frankston mindset in your whole life if it is Frankston that defines you. But in Christ, Grant Mullen from Frankston, you can do all things. Right now, I haven't quite finished yet, won't be long, but right now, if you feel like you are being defined by where you came from, it could be the family you grew up in, it could be things that have happened to you, it could be country you come from, it could be a man of things, but you feel like that is limiting you and you feel like you're stuck, I want you to stand up where you are right now, and I'm going to pray that an understanding of you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you will actually break that mindset. If that's you, just stand up where you are right now. Because I just believe to do that right now, that there is a sense where we feel like we're being limited and we feel like we're being defined by where we've come from. Stuff that's happened to us, suburb we grew up in, whatever it is. Just stand up where you are right now. We're going to just pray that that would break off right now in the name of Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. As people stand here right now, I just pray in the name of Jesus that they would not be defined by what has been said about them, what has happened to them, where they were born, or how they're feeling right in this moment. Lord, I thank you that whatever they face, whatever you're calling them to walk through, that they can do all things through Jesus Christ who will strengthen them right now in this moment. I just pray against the power of words that have been spoken. I pray against the power of perceptions that they carry. I pray against the power of hurt and brokenness that is around our lives. We pray that that would fall off them right now in the name of Jesus, and they would just get a sense of doing all things in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. Number three, in Christ you're unlimited. You are unlimited. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Listen to this. My power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Number four, Jesus makes perfection through your weakness. And right now, as I'm talking about being strong and courageous, and you might feel like, I don't feel that strong, I feel weak in this area, or I don't feel like I'm enough. Well, you know what? You don't have to carry that, and you don't have to worry about it, because Jesus actually wants to make perfection in your weakness. In other words, he actually wants to work through you in such a way that people can say, you know what, that can't possibly be you. It's got to be God, because there is something so different about what he's doing in you right now. Had someone say to me, and he said it to me a couple of times, Dave, you're really different when you stand up and talk to what you are when we talk one-to-one. And I don't know if that's true or not. But what he's probably saying is that just when you talk to me, I'm a sort of relatively laid-back person, unless I'm getting real passionate about something. But when I speak to people, the Holy Spirit is actually able to work through me. And there's a sense where it's sort of not really Dave. Sort of like Dave, but it's not Dave. And there's something about the way that God wants to walk. And he wants to take things that are perhaps even not quite us and just mold it and work through us. And people go, wow. Not, wow, you're awesome, but wow, it's got to be God. You know what they said about Jesus' disciples? Peter gets up and he preaches this message, and thousands of people get saved. And they said, these guys, this can't be true. These guys are fishermen. They're uneducated. They're not eloquent. It's got to be God. These guys have been with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, if the band want to join me, 16:13 says, be alert, stand firm on your faith, be men or women of courage and be strong. Stand firm on your faith. What's it meaning? It means your faith. It means that when you've said, I believe in Jesus, you know, there's a confession. It's not the strength of your faith, it's the strength of who you have your faith in. So stand firm in the fact that you have faith in Jesus. Be alert. Well, I think one of the biggest things that the enemy would like to do with us as Christians is just cause us to be dull. Have dull church services. Have dull conversations. Have a dull vision about the future. Be a bit disconnected from what's really going on around us and in the world. Just be dull. Be, again, one of these B's that we've got to choose to do ourselves. Be alert. In other words, be present. Be connected with what's going on. Be around. You're not trying to escape from everything. You're being alert. You're being present. Stand firm on your faith. Be men of courage and be strong. So number five, we've got to stand firm on our faith. If we want strength and courage when it feels like we haven't got any, let's decide that we're going to stand firm on your faith. In other words, stand firm on your faith with Jesus. Be alert. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. Anyone like the movie The Wizard of Oz? I know Gaynor loves it. I actually went to Gaynor tonight just to check some of the information here. Do you know the story of the Wizard of Oz? They're stuck. What's her name, Gaynor? Main girl? Dorothy. Be alert. Dorothy, you know, Dorothy's stuck in this other land or this other dimension. She's got to find. She's got to find the wizard or the good witch or whichever it was. I'm really with this. Yeah, I'll have to watch the movie again. But she's got to find the Wizard of Oz to get out of this place. And you know the story, many of you, that along the way, you know, she meets this lion. And the lion says, "Hey, I'm a lion, but I've run out of courage." And then she meets the Tin Man, and the Tin Man says, "Well, you know, I'm a Tin Man, but I haven't got any heart." And then she meets a scarecrow, and the scarecrow says, "Well, you know, I'm a scarecrow, but I need a brain. I need discernment." And they go through all these things, and they work together, and they finally get, you know, up into that big castle, and they get before the wizard. And essentially what has happened is along the journey, the lion found out that he could be courageous. The Tin Man developed empathy and emotion and connection along the way. And the scarecrow somehow grew a brain. In other words, he actually got discernment as he went through the journey. And often when we start the journey, we feel like we haven't got all those things. But you see, when Jesus is in you, that's why he says, "Be strong and courageous." Because inside the lion was always courage. When God created a lion, he created him with courage and a roar. Don't know quite how he created a Tin Man and a scarecrow. But the point is, as we go through the journey, we actually find what God has placed inside us already. And I just feel like that there are some of us here tonight, and as we look for a year where there are going to be challenges, there are going to be amazing opportunities, but I just feel to encourage us that we've got to decide that we are going to be strong. We're going to be courageous. And you don't have to worry too much about feeling like you can't be that, because you know what? If you're in Christ, that is absolutely inside you, because your spirit is new, and we've got to allow our spirit to lead us and take us to places that our soul never intended to go. Why don't we stand?